Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The trial date for a former Sitka educator accused of sexual assault has been pushed back until the summer. During a hearing Thursday in Sitka Superior Court, Jo Robidoux's defense attorney said she needed more time to prepare. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Juneau attorney Julie Willoughby told the court that its original May 6th trial date was unrealistic. She also told Superior Court Judge David George that the trial could last between 6 to 10 days, far longer than the state's original estimate of a four-day trial. George moved the case to the week of July 15th, but noted it could move again to August, depending on court calendars and what the defense requests. Asking for the original trial date to be moved further down the calendar is not out of the ordinary. Robidoux is accused of 6 felony counts of sexual assault and an additional 5 misdemeanors. The charges relate to incidents that allegedly happened beginning last May and as recently as January. All of them involve other adults, teachers who worked for Robidoux when he was principal of Blatchley Middle School. Robidoux was most recently the business manager for the Sitka School District, a job he'd taken the week before the charges came to the attention of school officials and police in January. He tendered his resignation sometime after that, and it became official on March 1st, the same day he was indicted by a Sitka grand jury. The court has ordered Robidoux to stay off school property, but during Thursday's hearing, defense attorney Willoughby asked that it relax that order on 2 occasions in May so Robidoux can attend evening events involving his stepdaughter. Assistant District Attorney Jean Seaton said both she and the school district are opposed to that request. Judge George asked Willoughby to put it in writing and said he'd rule after Seaton checked with victims in the case. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Southeast Alaskans critique the Marine Highway System's 2013-2014 fall, winter, and spring schedules earlier this week. Leaders from around the region spoke and asked questions during a teleconference. Some thanked ferry officials for answering past concerns, but many said other problems needed to be addressed. Here's an edited version of what they had to say.
This is Carol Rushmore, the Economic Development Director in Wrangell. We ran into a serious issue with our halibut fishermen in that they could not get product down south. There was a 10-day window where there was no ferry service to Prince Rupert and just one down to Bellingham, and they couldn't move their product.
This is Jamie Cabral, Activities Director, and on the Region 5 Southeast Alaska Schools Board of Directors, kind of looking at the south schools, because going south for Petersburg works extremely well, heading down the Ketchikan, trying to get to our activities there. But going north right now, the kids are kind of missing about 3-4 days of school, which kind of affects them a little bit.
Marlene Campbell, sitting borough of Sitka. Since Sitka is only getting one north ferry per week, it's very, very difficult for any of the group use, which is significant through winter and hugely important to our budgets, for the 2 high schools in Sitka, for all of the other school use, the regional hospital in Sitka, and the Southeast Alaska Health Consortium.
This is Dave in Petersburg. We've continually asked to have a restoration of service, which would be to provide 2 vessels out of Prince Rupert from May through the end of September. And I guess our question is we don't understand why this can't happen.
This is Councilman Morgan DeBure and Phil Hawley. As you've probably heard many times, we've been limited by once-a-week service, and a Monday-Wednesday allows people to shop and go in and return at a minimum of expense. Airfare is more expensive and is perceived as more dangerous in the winter. Staying in a hotel for a week waiting for the next ferry is way too expensive, prohibitive. We're not a rich town, and this gesture really could further help, and I wouldn't be too surprised if it wouldn't double your ridership from Gustavus.
Those are a number of Southeast community leaders commenting on the fall, winter, and spring 2013-2014 ferry schedule. South Central and Southwest Alaskans gave their comments during a separate teleconference. One of Petersburg's small seafood processors is about to get a lot bigger. Tonka Seafoods has bought a long-unused cannery building and dock from Trident Seafoods. The move to the much larger waterfront facility means a major expansion for Tonka, which plans to substantially increase the company's production and workforce once the plant is fully up and running within the next year. Matt Lichtenstein asked Tonka's owners about their plans and filed this report.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get out there and start moving things around and try to make a really nice plant out of that out there.
Wendell Gilbert is president of Tonka Seafoods, the custom fish processing company, just finished buying the Mitkoff Cannery building from Trident Seafoods.
So I was really looking forward to this. I've been waiting a long time, and it's just been taking forever to get done. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's do this.
It's a huge step for the small local company. Seth Scrimshire is chief financial officer.
There is a little bit of stress involved going from a smaller operation to making the leap to the larger operation, but definitely relieved that the deal is done.
The plant is close to downtown Petersburg on Mitkoff Highway, just past the ferry terminal.
Everything is basically been stripped out of this plant. It is a bare bones project that we have to build back up from scratch. So we're buying a shell of a building with a nice big dock, and we're not sure how it's all going to come together yet. We're working on it. We've got plans. We've got things going. We've got people working on it already. And it's just come see us next year, and you'll see what we come up with.
Tonka's current plant is located on the first floor of a downtown apartment building and has no waterfront access to take deliveries from fishermen. Having a much larger facility as well as a dock will make a big difference for the company. Gilbert and Scrimshire hope to have their whole business moved out to the new, roomier location by late May and continue with their normal operations for now. The company plans to build up the facility's capacity to handle more fish over the next year. Tonka currently processes less than 1 million pounds of fish a year, according to Scrimshire, who says with the bigger plant, they hope to increase that to between 6 and 7 million pounds for all species.
There's some things we need to do. We need to remodel the ice house. You know, we need to a little remodeling on the dock. So, yeah, there is some facility work we'll need to do before we can expand into the larger fisheries. But we're able to do it. It kind of remodel as we go instead of all at once, so that's the plan.
Scrimshire says Tonka employs 6 people year-round and up to 18 at the peak of the summer. He hopes to double that once the new plant is fully geared up in a year or so. Along with more salmon, he says the company will be looking to buy more halibut, black cod, Pacific cod, and rockfish, and other species. They want to eventually get the equipment to process shrimp, and they'd like to expand into flounder, which has not been commercially fished since the 1970s in Southeast. The Mitkoff Cannery dates back to the 1950s, according to Tonka's Wendell Gilbert, who says they've done extensive surveys and everything looks sound. The facility last canned fish in 2003 when it was owned by Norquest Seafoods, which bought the plant in 1999. Trident bought Norquest in 2004. And one note of financial disclosure, I'm a commercial troller in my spare time, and I've sold fish to several of Petersburg's local processing plants, including Tonka. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
A dog took the stage during this year's Alaska Folk Festival. So did a drum and pipe band and a much-traveled singer-songwriter and some Middle Eastern-style singers and dancers. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld spoke with some of the performers at the 39th annual Juno event and assembled this audio postcard.
Well, I found a Gideon's Bible by my bed one night in a hotel in a town I can't recall.
I'm Tom Begich from Anchorage, Alaska.
What brings you down to the folk festival so many years?
Oh, ever since the first time I came back in 1983, I've just loved it, you know. And I haven't been at every folk fest since then, but I've been to many of them. I think I didn't play until 87 was the first time I actually played.
Any special place the folk festival holds in your music regime, so to speak?
Year after year after year here, I have introduced new songs. I tend to put them with some of my older songs, too, so that people can have a flavor. But I like to test the audience to see how they react, you know, and it's a pretty generous audience.
Do you play other festivals?
I play all over the country, so I mean, there's a whole list of folks and places that I play, but I mostly tour from May to June in the Southwest and Midwest, and then I go to the East Coast and Central States. Generally, though, I prefer house concerts. There's just a more appreciative audience. You get to meet everybody. But it's weird because the Folk Fest is like a big house concert. Yeah.
You cannot change your future. Your past is lost in time. One moment changing everything for good. There are no words of comfort. Peace to soothe my soul, just the echo of a life misunderstood.
I'm Beth.
I'm Sherry.
And I'm Patricia.
And I'm Susanna Lessard.
So, what about the name? What does Noodle of Doom come from?
Well, you know, people say, oh, we were just noodling around. Well, we noodle around. And that doom, that's that bass note on the doom back. That big boom!
Is it difficult singing in another language?
Yes, it is. Roma is not a standard language. It's an amalgamation of lots of languages because it's a traveling people. So it's not like I could actually study any diction lessons on Roma. I had to just try to listen to it, and they like to sing fast.
What's the general experience being up there dancing to this music?
It's fun, and when you can't really see the entire crowd, it's even better. But when you see a couple of friendly faces in front, it makes it easier.
Do you ever have people walk up to you a couple days after you perform and say, I didn't know you did that?
Yeah.
And what do you tell them if they ask?
Whatever they want to know. And when the next class is.
That was an audio postcard from this year's Alaska Folk Festival. Our website has photos from the concert and information on how to listen and watch online. You can also find photos on the Coast Alaska News and KRNN Facebook pages. KCAW, Sitka.